This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, man, lots of activity down at the NFL league owners meetings with rules. I'm going to go through each of them and tell you what was decided or what was tabled today. By the way, Mark Maskey for the Post, he's got great interest in this, so I think, you know, he always is following it very passionately, but he always has so much good information beyond just the tweet that this has been, you know, rejected, or this has been tabled, or this has been passed. So I will add some of that in here for you. So let's start with the tush push. The tush push has been tabled for the time being. Maskey writes, in the meantime, the language of the proposal will be re-examined. It would have to be approved by at least 24 of the 32 owners to be enacted, meaning for it to be, you know, a play that ends up being outlawed through via penalty. He wrote, according to one person familiar with Tuesday's discussion, 16 teams were in favor of banning the tush push. That's 8 shy of the number needed for ratification. So clearly it got tabled because they didn't have the votes. So they're going to have to come up with, you know, more compelling reasons than safety, because the numbers aren't there on the play being unsafe at this point. It's more of a projection of the play being unsafe. All right, so that's number one. Okay, the tush push has been tabled. So it wasn't approved. It wasn't rejected. It's been tabled for the time being. The kickoff rule, it was made permanent. Last year's rule, remember, was a one-year rule of the whole formation alignment changing, the rules changing with respect to, you know, a landing area and touchback, etc. And kickoff returns went from 21% were returned to 32.8%, but that number was far short of what they had projected last year. They had projected 50 to 60% of kickoffs being returned last year. Didn't happen. Teams were still choosing touchbacks and not caring that teams got the ball at the 30-yard line rather than the 25-yard line, which was from the previous rule. Well, they made the kickoff rule permanent and made one change to it. They are now going to penalize teams who kick it into the end zone touchback by allowing the receiving team to start their possession at the 35-yard line. So 5 yards gained. I don't love that personally. I mean, I just, the idea that an offense gets to start at the 35-yard line on a touchback, I do think that 5 yards will make a big difference in those teams that decided that 25 to the 30-yard line wasn't a big deal. We'll continue to kick it into the end zone because we've got a kicker that can do it in good weather conditions or indoors or whatever it was. They are projecting, according to Maskey's story on this, a return of kickoff rate of 60 to 70%, up from the 32.8% of the kickoffs that got returned last year. So, look, Washington was one of those teams that did not kick touchbacks intentionally. You know, some of us thought for a while maybe they just didn't have a kicker with enough of a leg to get it there, but they really loved their kickoff coverage unit, which was outstanding for a big portion of the year, and they liked trying to pin teams in short of the 30-yard line. You know, now the goal will be, hell, if you can keep them inside the 35, then it was worth it not to kick it into the end zone. So that rule adopted and tweaked. All right. Next one, overtime. We talked about this with Cody Benjamin, our last guest. The overtime rule is changing. Again, we are now guaranteeing at least one possession for each team in overtime. I thought this would pass, but I thought it would pass with the extension of the overtime period going to 15 minutes, which it is in the postseason. But remember, in the postseason, too, you can't have a game end in a tie, so it can spill over into the second overtime as well. But this is going to be really tricky because 10 minutes, now you will have that team possessing the ball for the first time as they are on a drive, a first possession drive in overtime. Where it really mattered when they had the ball in overtime previously was trying to score a touchdown to end the game. Now they'll be trying to score a touchdown to take the lead, but leave the opponent with as little time as possible. Now, overtime rules, teams get two timeouts in overtime, not three, because it's one quarter, 10 minutes. If you didn't have any timeouts, you can't carry over any from regulation into overtime, but you get two timeouts in overtime. I think they've got to give teams three timeouts. If you're that defensive team, first possession, and you are getting moved on, of course, you know, there are some people that will just say, well, stop them, okay. Well, we can't because the game favors the offense, and we're not very good defensively, but our offense is really good, and since we're guaranteed one possession, we'd actually like the chance to have that one possession. So you've got, I think, to give teams a third timeout so that it can be used in the event that the other team has a long, drawn-out, 8-minute-plus drive and scores a touchdown, and now you got a minute and a half, and you got to score a touchdown. That's why I would have made it 15 minutes. That makes it more competitively fair for the team that gets the ball after the first team gets it. Now, that brings into the conversation what I was talking to Cody Benjamin about. In a 15-minute overtime where both teams are guaranteed possession of the ball, you clearly defer if you win the toss. Kyle Shanahan didn't understand that in the Super Bowl, and it cost him, right? So they kicked a field goal. Kansas City knew they needed a touchdown. They scored a touchdown. The Kansas City could have tied the game with a field goal, but whatever. You get the point. You know, it's the college, you know, concept, even though the games played differently in college and overtime. But if you're guaranteed a possession, you want that possession to begin with knowing what you need. Do we need a field goal to win? Do we need a field goal to tie? Do we need a touchdown to win, or do we need a touchdown to tie? You need to know what you need, you know, going into that. And when you take possession of the ball and it is your last possession because the other team scored on their first possession, you now get a fourth down because you're not going to punt. So there's an advantage to deferring. You get, if that other team scores on their first possession, you get a fourth down because you're not going to punt. You know, if you are down three or down seven or down six if they miss the extra point, or down eight if they go for two, whatever it might be. Those are the scenarios other than safety, which would end the game anyway. But you would have that fourth down and you would know what you need. But with 10 minutes, there is an argument, I guess, to be made where in a game in which, let's just say, two bad defensive teams can't stop the other team, you might say, we don't want to get the ball back with 2 minutes to go needing a touchdown. We'd rather they get the ball back with 2 minutes needing a touchdown because we're going to go down and score. So I guess in some instances, with a 10-minute overtime, deferring won't be the obvious answer. All right, so that's the overtime rule. Really surprised that they didn't. Is safety reasons. And look, I mean, an extra 5 minutes once a year probably on average. Are you kidding me? For each team? That's silly. Make the game competitively fair. If you're going to guarantee the other team possession, make sure they don't get it back with 30 seconds to go down seven. Or even a minute and a half to go down seven, or even 2 minutes. That's why I'm telling you, you got to give these teams a third timeout so that defensively, if that first team is on a long drive, you've got a chance to stop the clock and give your offense ample time to respond. All right, what else? Oh, so the automatic first down, which was proposed by the Lions. I forget who it was proposed by. The rule in which illegal contact and defensive holding would not be an automatic first down was rejected. That was actually the one where I was like, God, I'd love to see that rule enacted. It was a Detroit Lions proposal to eliminate the automatic first down associated with defensive holding and illegal contact. The NFL owners rejected that. So, third and 19, quarterback is, you know, throwing a quick bubble screen to get, you know, 8 yards and better punting position. But somebody on the opposite side of the field made illegal contact, and here comes the flag, and it's an automatic first down. That is, I think, the most painful automatic first down in the game. I mean, we see, you know, roughing the passers that are poorly called, interferences that get poorly called, but nothing more frustrating than third and super long where the other team, all they're doing is running a quick bubble or even a draw or a screen, and you get on the opposite side of the field where the play wasn't even contested, you get a flag dropped for illegal contact. But that rule and proposal to eliminate those penalties being automatic first downs was rejected. Playoff seeding tabled for now. So that was another Detroit Lions proposal to allow the seeding of the postseason to be determined after the teams are qualified and it being based on records. So four division winners, next three best records. That's the way teams qualify. So you can qualify for the playoffs with an 8-9 division record that wins the division. But you can't host a home game if you're not among the top four best records. So you would seed based on record after that. I am in total favor of that one. That one was tabled for the time being. I just think that that's competitively, you know, it's anti-competitive fairness. Like, okay, we have a division format. I love the division format. There are a lot of benefits to the division format. It's created these incredible traditional games and rivalries over the years. And no one, I don't think, as NFL fans, wants to see the divisions done away with. All right, but once you get into the postseason, if you got a 7-10 division winning record, you shouldn't be hosting a first round game against a team that's 14-3. Just shouldn't be. That won twice as many games as you did. That got tabled, and then what else do we have here? Expanded replay. All right, this is what they've done with expanded replay. I'll read from Mark Maskey's story in the Washington Post. The owners approved the committee's proposal to expand the replay assist system for a second straight offseason. This time, that expansion allows the replay official to have input on objective aspects of face mask violations, illegal hits on defensive players, horse collar tackles, tripping, and roughing the kicker penalties called by the on-field officials. The replay assist system cannot intervene on plays in which the officials did not throw a flag. So there you go. They've expanded. The replay assist, by the way, is when we see New York buzz down to say, hey, you got the spot wrong. Ball wasn't at the 25, it's actually at the 24. And they fix it without, you know, the coaches needing to throw a challenge flag. So they've expanded it to include face mask call, flags, illegal hits on defensive players, horse collar, tripping, roughing the kicker penalties, etc., to whatever was on the list before. I think what we saw mostly was, you know, balls that were called incomplete or, you know, catches immediately, you know, or fumbles or not fumbles, those kinds of plays immediately assisted rather than forcing teams to throw a challenge flag. I have no problem with that, honestly. In fact, it's much better that they get it done that way than we force, you know, the coaches to throw challenge flags. Now, what they're talking about on penalties here, that's the expansion, is to be able to look at, you know, you threw a flag for a face mask, but that was not a face mask. Pick up that flag. Pick up that flag that was not an illegal hit on defensive players, on a defensive player. That was not a horse collar. That was not roughing the kicker. So get ready for, oh my God, face mask on a 3rd and 7 that you know got 3 yards, 3rd and 16 that you got 3 yards on, an automatic first down, and then they pull that away and say, no, it actually wasn't a face mask. And then, yeah, that's it. I mean, nothing on the changing of onside kicks at this point. You know, nothing with respect to alignment changes on onside kick. Nothing, they have not... they're not going to allow for onside kicks before the fourth quarter, and they're not at this point addressing the alternative solutions that have been proposed many times, like instead of an onside kick, let's go with a 4th and 16 or a 4th and 15 or a 4th and 17, whatever it would be. So there you go. I'm actually interested in all this stuff. I don't know how much you guys are. I think, you know, I thought we would get something from the Tush Push this week, but they've tabled it. They need 8 votes. They need to go back and find 8 votes. So that's clearly what this is about. I'm curious, though, if there is a rule, you know, the kickoff rule, playoff seeding, overtime rule, Tush Push, automatic first down on defensive holding and illegal contact overturned. If you were really hoping that one of these would get passed that wasn't, or it was tabled, or something that was passed that you wished wasn't, we'll open it up for calls. I don't know if any of you guys are interested. We'll see. 301-230-0980. For me, I really, out of all of these, I think if you gave me one that I can only have one, and maybe that's the way to approach this question, even though some have been rejected already. But if you could only have one of these rule changes, which would you want? I think for me, I deal with the seating, which I think is competitively ridiculous, but I think I would probably say, let's get this automatic first down out of elite, you know, off of illegal contact and defensive holding. Mark off the yardage and replay the down if it wasn't a first down. God, I hate that rule. And it's so painful when it happens to your team. It just extends drives in ways that weren't earned. I think that would be the one that I wish, and it got rejected, but I wished had passed. What do you guys say? What would you have liked to have seen passed more than anything else? 301-230-0980. Denton will give his answer when we come back. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Team980.com. Take some calls, NFL calls, on what's going on down at the league meetings. A lot of, you know, rules that are, I think, consequential are either being tabled, rejected, or approved. I went through the list. I'll go through it real quickly. The kickoff rule made permanent, but touchbacks come out to the 35 now instead of the 30. The replay system has been expanded to include things like being able to use replay assist, which is not, you know, the challenge system, but the upstairs New York, whomever, you know, lets the referees know that that wasn't, you know, the right spot, that wasn't the right possession. But they've expanded it to include, you know, flags for face mask, horse collar, tripping, running into the kicker, etc. Overtime has been changed to guarantee a possession for both teams. However, it was not expanded to 15 minutes. It stays at 10 minutes. The automatic first down for the defensive hold and illegal contact penalties, which Detroit proposed be banned and it be turned into just a yardage penalty with a replay of the down, was rejected. So you still have automatic first downs on those penalties. Playoff seeding. Seeding, once the teams are determined based on record, was tabled. The tush push was tabled. And yeah, that's it. So my question to you is, forget the results of today. What's the one rule that you'd really like to see enacted of these that were being presented and considered? It's a tough call for me because I think playoff seeding is competitively much more fair. I would definitely seed based on record after you have the teams qualify through the current format, 4 division winners, 3 wild card winners. I think the overtime, I'm fine with it, but I can't believe that it's only 10 minutes. It really makes for a potential messy situation for the team that decides we're going to hold on to the ball and we're going to really work the clock because we can essentially, you know, ensure that the team doesn't even get a possession or gets a possession with very little time. You know, you could have done that in the normal overtime rules by if you ended up just kicking a field goal, but the intention was always to go for a touchdown no matter when it happened. I think for me, though, I've hated the automatic first down for illegal contact and defensive holding for so long that I think I would go with that rule. I wish it had been enacted. It was rejected. I think you got to earn these first downs. Now, that you can make the case that if defensive holding or illegal contact isn't an automatic first down, that you'll see more of it with, you know, DBs who are about to get beat badly, that they'll just reach out, grab, and hold so that it's a 5-yard penalty or a 10-yard penalty, but it's not a first down on 3rd and 15. I think that would have been the one that I would have wanted to see, followed closely by playoff seeding, followed closely by the overtime change, but with 15 minutes. What about you, Denton?
I would have liked to see the playoff seeding adjusted. I don't like that they're moving the touchback to the 35. Like,
I don't
it's starting to get a little desperate. I'm a fan of the new kickoff format. I do think that all things considered in year one, it at least added an element to the game. Unfortunately, at one point, our team was on the wrong side of that added
return against Dallas
with the Turbin. But outside of that, like, I just think if you continue to like adjust the rules, you're basically on your hands and knees begging teams to do a kickoff correctly. And I think that's kind of weird. So I don't love the fact that they moved the touchback, but I'm in agreeance with you in that I wish that the seating would be adjusted. I do think it's also ironic that Detroit is the one that put this in, because basically what they would have done was made life a little bit, I think, more difficult for them, although they got mollywopped by us anyway, so it didn't really matter.
Well, they would have still been the one seed. Their seeding wouldn't have changed last year. Why did you say it was ironic? I'm not following.
Well, because it just would have helped people in their division out more. Like, really what they're doing is basically asking for, like, an easier path for Minnesota. Like, hey, help the guy out that we beat at the end of the season to make their life a little bit easier.
Yeah, Minnesota would have been the 3. Philly still would have been the 2. Minnesota would have been the 3. The Bucks would have been the Washington would have been the 4, Green Bay would have been the 5, the Bucks would have been the 6, the Rams would have been the 7. So Washington would have hosted Green Bay in a first round game, and then barring an upset in the other playoff games, they still would have gone to Detroit in a 4-1 game, second round game. So, yeah. Okay, phone. People want to weigh in on this. Of all the rules that were being considered, forget the results. Some were rejected, some were tabled, some were enacted. What would you like to see as part of the game? What were you hoping would become a rule? Let's start with our guy, Paulie. Paulie, go ahead.
Well, to the W, man. Big guy, what's going on, man?
What's up, Paulie?
Hey, man. Listen, I'm with you, man. They're trying to poison the fetus, man. The owners, it has to be the automatic first down one, man. I mean, you're putting too much. You're giving the referees too much power on that play, on subjective calls. And I think, man, that's the one rule that's been ruining this game for a long time now. You know, and if you want to, if you want teams to return kickoffs. They just moved the kicker back 10 yards. That way they can't.
It's a safety rule. It's a safety rule.
Yeah, okay. We know. It's not. That's what they want to say. But move the kicker back 10 yards if you want to return kicks, man. You know, far as the seating go, I like the way it is right now. I wouldn't mind them reseeding after the first round, but I think if you win your division,
well, you do get a reseeding after the first round. Game. You do get a reseeding after the first down. Yeah. It's not a bracket format.
Okay. It's not a bracket. Okay. Well, I like the idea you get a whole playoff game, you win your division. It's not every year you get 8-9 to win the division, or every year you got two teams with 14 wins in the same division. You know, so I like it the way it is. But by far for me, it's the automatic first down on defensive holding, on illegal contact, man. It just has bailed a lot of teams out, and it makes it, you know, it's not fair for the defense, man. You know, so that would be my thing. That's the main one for me, man. It's just like the NFL and the owners, they don't have any, they don't understand the quality, how they're killing the quality of the game. And that's what's really a shame for me, man.
I mean, the argument, Paulie, on why they rejected it is that you would have on, say, you know, whatever, a third down and more than 5, if a guy gets beat quickly, you'll get a defender just reaching out, grabbing, and holding intentionally because, you know, say it's third and, you know, actually it's a 10-yard penalty. So let's just say it's third and 15. They're just going to reach out and hold intentionally if they're about to get beat off the line of scrimmage. Now, that means the other team, you know, they'll call the penalty. That means the other team doesn't get a first down. But now they have another chance, third and 5, rather than third and 15. So they've still improved their chances of keeping and retaining the ball significantly. I just cannot stand. That's one of the plays that I think drives NFL fans the craziest, is the giveaway first down on third and 19 on a bubble screen. You know, or a screen pass where you get a defensive hold that had nothing to do with the play at all. The offense was running a give up play to begin with, and that now all of a sudden they've got a first down. Thanks, as always. Let's go to James in Germantown. James, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I agree with Denton on the kickoff rule. I have an option for it. So I think you have to not only penalize the kicking team for where you want them to kick the ball, but you also have to penalize the receiving team and make it worth them coming out and returning the ball rather than taking the touchback. So my thing is penalize the kicking team, set it on the 40 if they kick it out of bounds, out of the end zone, so just so they won't kick it out every single time. And if someone takes a touchback, put it on the 15-yard line. Make it worth
you
them coming out.
You can't do that because if somebody, you know, if the ball's sitting back there 8 yards deep into the end zone, you're returning it is a major disadvantage for the returning team to even get it back to even remotely where they want it to be. I'm against the 35-yard line. I would have kept it at the 30-yard line, and if that means 32% of the kickoffs get returned instead of the 60 to 70, so be it. But you can't force a team to return a kickoff out of the end zone that's 9 yards deep in the end zone. That's just because the smart play is to not return that kickoff. And now you're saying do the dumb thing or you're going to get the ball at the 15-yard line.
Well, maybe you can move the kicker back 5 yards and only the kicker and only the kicker back 5 yards as well. So it makes it tougher for him to get it 9 yards into the end zone.
Yep. Yeah, that's one aspect of it. But you're also then moving. If you kept the two lines, you know, the return line and the coverage line in the same spot 5 yards apart from one another, that was the key, is that there weren't people running down the field and you were having all these massive collisions. You know, they wanted the returns to mirror as much as they could a line of scrimmage play. It's not a line of scrimmage play, but in terms of the, you know, the chance for injury, because you got guys that are running down at full speed and guys on the other end that are, you know, running towards them at full speed, they took that out of the play. But to your point, the kicker isn't really necessarily involved either. And if they moved him back 5 yards, that might have done the trick. We'll see. Thanks for the call. Really appreciate it, James. Let's go to Greg in Gaithersburg. Greg, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, you know, I can see your point with the holding penalty, but I think that the argument is...
You're breaking up there, Greg. Let's put Greg on hold for a moment. Let's get a better signal with Greg, and let's go to Rob in Frederick.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Rob.
Kevin?
Yep.
Hey, on the kickoff, what happens if you just change the landing zone 5 yards deep in the end zone and then force them to take it out?
Well, you don't have marks in the end zone, so now it's kind of subjective as to whether or not it goes 5 yards, so you're going to have to change the look of the end zone, right? Because you're going to have to mark off 5 yards into the end zone. But, yeah, overall, I mean, I got to think about it, but if you change the landing zone from, say, the 20 to the goal line, from the 10 to 5 yards deep into the end zone, I still think there's an argument to be made that you can't force a team to return a kickoff from a disadvantaged situation, which 5 yards deep into the end zone or for, you know, would be.
Okay, I also have another gripe on the rules.
Yeah.
From the half the distance to the goal, if an offense has it and they do a holding, they give them half the distance, right?
Yep.
If you have a full 10 yards, why can't they do the 10 yards?
So if you're an offensive team inside your own 25, because that's where the half the distance starts, inside the 25-yard line or the 25-yard line and moving inside, why can't you mark off the full 10?
Right. To me, that's stupid. It gives you the advantage.
Wait a minute.
To the
don't
offense,
they?
Not the defense.
Don't they or not?
No. No, I thought.
No, you're right. It's half the distance.
And that, to me, that's a stupid rule.
Half the distance to the goal is a stupid rule. I got to think about that one. I've never thought about that one before, Rob. Good one. I'm writing it down.
Yep.
I guess.
I mean, you're giving the advantage to the offense. I was going to say, you're giving the advantage to the offense because they can come up and see what play the defense is getting ready to run. And, you know, you get, let's say you get 6 yards out of it, so that's easier to make up than the whole full 10.
Well, if there's a personal foul on the defense, and it's a disadvantage to the offense. Did you say disadvantage to the offense or disadvantage to the defense?
It can go either way. That's what the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah, it can go either way.
There's a distance there. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So take the half the distance crap out of it, except if it's inside the 10.
Right. Yeah, I got to think about that
rule.
One.
I hate that.
I got to imagine they've thought those things through. But thanks for that, Rob. Let's go to Robert in Annapolis. Robert, go ahead.
All right, one that I've never liked is when the offensive team loses possession of the ball through the end zone and it's automatically awarded to the defense. That can be debated, right. I know, but the defense didn't actually recover the ball, so they could probably do something with that. in terms of where they let the offense retain possession but maybe have to move back, something of that nature. But I don't think they should automatically lose possession of the ball. And on the playoff format, I'm one for accomplishments. So I understand the divisions. I like the divisions. But the one thing I would say is you can't have a losing record as a division winner just because you're a bad team with three worst teams. It doesn't happen often, Kevin, but you know it has. It's happened at least three times I can think of where a team with a losing record qualifies for postseason play. Now, I don't have a problem with a division winner with a lesser record hosting the wild card game, you know, if they want to emphasize the division. But so it's that possession of the
fumble. So you would just make it that if you have a losing record, you can't qualify for the playoffs.
Correct. I actually want to say you have to have a winning record. But if you're 8-8-1 and you win your division, I'm not going to debate that point. But to have a losing record and be qualified for postseason just because that year the other three teams in your division sucked more, it's just not a good – it's just not – you don't deserve it, you know?
So I know, but here's the problem. Here's the problem you would have with that. Is you would have even more meaningless games for that team or the two teams, let's say, who are fighting it out at 6-9 over the final 2 weeks of the season for a playoff spot if they've already been eliminated.
I understand that, Kevin, but I don't care. I'm talking about who should be in the postseason.
The NFL does not like to see, they like to minimize the meaningless games, which, by the way, just as a point here, that would the seeding based on record would make more games relevant at the end of the season. You'd have teams playing for seeding.
Okay, Kevin, keep in mind this, sort of like the NBA. You know, if a division appears that it's not going to have a team without a losing record, then there's also more interest drawn to other teams where there's a strong division. Where a team that might not normally have qualified might be able to get that spot. So you can move that interest around however it is. But those are the two things.
By the way, Robert, and I think this is pretty typical. I mean, I have to go back. But last year, three games wild card weekend were hosted by teams with lesser records than the teams they were playing, including, by the way, Washington, right? Washington was 12-5, and Tampa Bay hosted that game at 10-7. You know, two-game difference. The Texans hosted against the Chargers. Chargers had a better record. Then the Rams, well, that game ended up being played in a neutral site because of the wildfires, but the Rams were scheduled to host the Vikings 10-7, 14-3. I mean, I'd like to see that changed, but I hear what you're saying. I think the problem with a losing record team not qualifying for the playoffs is now you end up with, in that division, with multiple teams potentially vying for at least a playoff spot and a chance with games being played in which they've been eliminated. I don't think the NFL wants that at all. Thanks.
Okay. There's never one answer to anything, Kevin, is there?
Right.
Okay,
you're right. There you Thanks, go. Robert. Thanks. Everybody on hold, stay there. Greg, Billy, Lapp, everybody else, I'll get you guys in after the break. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com. All right, a few more calls on this. We'll get to some news. There was other sports. We'll get to some of the things that Dan Quinn said earlier this morning. But what's the rule? And we've gone outside of the rules that have been discussed, and that's fine. But what was the rule that either got rejected, tabled, or approved today that you really wanted to see become a rule? Let's go to Lapp. Lapp's been on hold for a while. Lapp, as always, thanks, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Kevin? Shout out to Denton, man. As far as the tush push, I'm fine with keeping that. I want to see if someone can stop it. I mean, some of the great, you know, offensive plays is like, you know, teams have found a way to kind of counter it or contain it or stop it. And if you've seen when Louisville, man, I think the Commanders were on to something. It's just timing, man. But it was dope to see.
Yeah, they were about to award the Eagles a touchdown.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. I think they were on to something, Kevin. And I think, you know, if they can probably
practice timing it. I think it's a way to kind of stop it, but you just never want to be in that position as a defense for sure. And as far as the what you were saying with the caller about the division winner, I'm open to both. I get both sides. But I had a quick question about that pertaining to another sport, but in the same, because you know with the NFL, that number one seed gets that bye, because you remember back right. then it was two seeds get the bye.
Yeah, when they had six.
So yep. you think, right, so if you change it where that team, that number one team, and extend it to eight, you might can make a case to with the division, the whole division thing. And it would have been nice record-wise, you know, especially for us, the Commanders, we don't ever get the benefit from anything that they change. But it would have been nice.
Well, we won anyway. We got the win on the road anyway. But, yeah, we would have been hosting a game with, you know, seeding based on record. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm trying to figure out a way for that. But it would, and like one of the other callers said, Kevin, it's not like you have an 8-9-1 team every year. But, you know, it would be tough and not competitive for teams not really to plan for nothing. But like in hockey and NBA, don't they do conference record seeding for?
Well, the NHL does top three each division, then the next two best records, and then they seed them accordingly after the top two being the two division winners. The NBA, you got the two division winners and then the next best records. So I don't mind the way the NFL does the qualification for the seven playoff spots. And by the way, keep in mind, if we do get to 18 games, which I think is a near certainty, you know, in the next 3 to 4 years, they may expand the postseason again to eight. And at that point, no buys, you know, and you get you know, quarterfinal, you know, Saturday for both conferences, and you get eight games in total over that first weekend. But my whole thing, and I've been saying this for years, I love the way the division format is set up. I think it is right for the NFL, and I don't care about a 6-11 team or a 7-10 team making it. I just don't think that team should be hosting a game against a team with, you know, double the number of wins in the first round. Thanks for the call, Lap. Let's go to Greg in Gaithersburg. Greg, go ahead. Or Alec. Yeah, go ahead,
hey,
Greg.
Hey, Kevin.
Yeah.
Hey, I understand your thoughts on the automatic first down, but I think their biggest argument is, like you said, if you got, you know, 3rd and 15 and the guy holds and then they get the first down, but if they hold, you'll see a lot more of the holding calls. But what
if you get beat? Yeah, if you're about to get beat badly, you're going to see a reach out and a grab because it's not going to result in a first down on 3rd and more than 10. Exactly.
Right, but the rule that I can't stand, I hated it last year, is the kickoff. I understand it's a safety issue, but here's the thing: let's just say your receivers are back standing on the goal line, and the kickoff bounces at the 5, they can just let it go into the end zone.
No, they can't. Then the ball comes out to the 20. If it hits in the landing zone and goes into the end zone and isn't returned, the ball comes out to the 20.
Oh, I see. But I truthfully,
that's the point of trying to kick it into the landing zone. And that's why you saw every team with two kickoff returners deep so that a ball wouldn't hit and go into the end zone. They had to cover more ground on the return. I mean, the bottom line is the safest play is a touchback, right? There's still some contact, but that's no return is the safest play. But that's not what the NFL wants. Just like they said the extra point became sort of a non-play. They don't want a non-play. So they've tried to be creative. I'm okay with it. I thought I was going to hate it. I didn't hate it. I just think it's too much to have a team get the ball at the 35-yard line for a touchback. You are literally, in this day and age, with the kickers we have in the league, two first downs away from field goal range. Thanks, Greg. Let's go to Alex to finish it up. Alex, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, Kevin. The one rule that I've always hated is when you're, you know, say Jayden's running for a touchdown at the 1 and he gets stripped and fumbles it through the end zone.
Right.
That touchdown. You know, the other team gets it and it goes to the 20 when every other spot on the field, you know, you fumble it out of bounds, you get it right there. And I think what could solve it is that, you know, say Jayden's running and he fumbles it. It just, you know, you you retain possession, but it goes back to, you know, the 15, 10, whatever you want to do it. And, you know, you don't get to replay the down. So if it was second and goal from the 5 and he fumbles it, then it goes back to wherever, and it's third down and goal from there.
I like that.
Yeah, because I just think it's stupid that just because you – or if it's a bomb, 80 yards, he's running and he fumbles it out, you just get it at the 20, but you still maintain possession. I mean, I think that'd be pretty easy. I just think it's dumb that you – one fumble. And
although
if
you drop the ball before you run into the end zone on a long bomb where you're, you know, we've only seen that play happen about 50 times over the last 25 years, and players don't learn from it, I think that should be a touchback.
Usually the other team recovers it because they jump on it. It doesn't really go all the way.
But we see occasionally it'll dribble through the end zone and out of it, or you know, no one will recover it. The play will be called dead and touchback. But yes,
if it's an unintentional fumble, I guess that would be
I think the way to do it is the way you described it. You don't award possession to the other team because they didn't recover the ball. You certainly don't award the other team the ball at the 20-yard line. You penalize the offensive team 15 yards, loss of down, and they have to play it back at the 15-yard line.
Right. If it's like I said, a longer play where they already got the first down, then it would just be first and 10 from the 20 or whatever it is. But they you know, because it's a huge, you could drive the whole field 90-yard drive, and then because of one mistake, they don't recover it, but you lose possession. That always got me. I hated that rule. And, you know, unless it was in our favor.
Exactly. Thanks, Alex. Yeah. Appreciate it. Let's get to some Denton news when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.